all animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes, and then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes. 72 minutes if the kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to change, we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
And welcome back, everyone, to Acme Podcasts Incorporated. I'm your host, Kaiju Emperor, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jake.
That's my robot voice. That's my robot malfunctioning noise. Hi, everybody. I'm Jankerton. I'm Janky. Various kinds of jank.
Isn't your robot malfunctioning noise just like what it sounds like when you're sick?
Don't act smart. Don't think you know. You don't know me.
I don't want to act smart. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody.
Welcome.
We've struggled to try and get back into the rhythm on a regular basis, but hopefully we will. You know, like I said, for a while life kept getting in the way, and then it was like once the podcast stops being regular in our lives, it's like, oh right, I have a podcast.
And also finding things too, because we always try to coincide with some bigger animation dates or do like stuff. Even though this is a fun podcast for fun, we always try to like give some meaning, some oomph. And there was really nothing for those last couple of weeks. Kind of had to sort of we had to make our own meaning.
I mean, we don't
have to craft. We had to forge, if you will.
We don't have to talk about things that are current, you know, but it is always a thing where you have to find something that has enough meat on the bone to actually have something to talk about. Which can be a challenge sometimes, because like, there are some things, like media especially, where, like, you want, like, for example, you're an animation podcast, right? We're an animation podcast. And it's like, well, you gotta talk about Batman the Animated Series, you gotta talk about X, Y, or Z. And some of those things, yeah, we will talk about them. But also, like, I don't know what could be said about them that hasn't already been said by, like, 10 other people. Some of them, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes there's more to speak of for Dink the Last Dinosaur than there is to say for Batman.
Denver the Last Dinosaur. You fool. You rube.
See? Exactly. What was Dink about then?
Denver the Last Dinosaur. Oh, God. Dink is nothing. It's Dink the Little Dinosaur is what you're thinking of.
See? Dink the Little Dinosaur, Denver the Last Dinosaur. That's...
Dink the Little Dinosaur is a bunch of, like, made-for-VHS, like, it's like with a kid TV show movie thing, and it was, like, just a ripoff of Land Before Time.
No. Dink, come on. Dink's cool.
I want you to look at a screenshot of Dink the Last Dinosaur and tell me that it's not just trying to be Land Before Time.
I mean, it doesn't look good like Land Before Time, so...
Uh-huh.
Clearly, why is that one guy... That's just a crystal. That's the Dink crystal.
Magic. It's a magic crystal.
Ah, yes.
What's it called? What's his name? The Rainbow Scale Dinosaur, or what the fuck, the sequel to Rainbow Fish.
Hold on, someone drew like a little crossover fan of Dink and Littlefoot. Why does it look like the fucking? Why does it look like the X-Men versus Street Fighter like handshake?
Oh yeah, because they're gonna shake hands with their weird sauropod feet.
Why is this? Dink versus Land Before Time. The hit Capcom game. That, fuck, now I'm thinking of things that are stupid, but would be cool if they existed. I don't want that, but it'd be cool if it was real.
Mm-hmm.
You were...
Primal Rage versus Bloody Roar.
Damn, stop.
No. Primal Rage versus Rampage.
Neither of those IPs are being used. Like, all three of those actually aren't being used because A, Konami, and B, I don't know who owns Rampage and Primal Rage.
Well, I mean, the last time that the Rampage franchise was used was in the 2018 live-action film with The Rock.
Where he was best friends with the gorilla. The big one. The big one.
Yeah. Fucking Ralph. I think this is...
Wait, aren't the Primal Rage motherfuckers supposed to be, like, people that turn into monsters?
Primal Rage? That's Bloody
Roar. No, I mean, the Rampage. Rampage, sorry.
Yes, Rampage they are. People who mutated into giant monsters. I don't know if that's the plot of the movie, because I haven't fucking seen it.
I don't know, I know the Rock fights buildings, or something. Every modern Rock movie is The Rock fights something.
Well, yeah. That's just The Rock's daily life. Him fighting a building? Come on.
That is what he does. Is fighting thing.
Yeah, he fights something. Whatever. But anyway. This is ostensibly an animation podcast. But of course, the beginning of the podcast is always... whatever.
Random bullshit, like talking about the differences between Dink and Denver.
Ever since we mentioned Denver the Last Dinosaur, the Denver the Last Dinosaur theme song has been playing on loop in my head.
Denver the Last Dinosaur, he's my friend and so much more.
Anyway.
I'll tell you that's an opening that is not something that would stomp your dick off.
No.
You know what's an opening that would stomp your dick off?
What?
Something's really rocking on planet number 3. Modern man's got prehistoric company. A colossal fossil feud unlike anything before between the reckless raptors and the extreme dinosaurs. I can't
extreme,
do the rest of it, but you...
Extreme.
Extreme dinosaurs. Tails that wept like thundercracks.
Did you know that the guy who designed the extreme dinosaurs also designed the street sharks?
Really?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed. I never would have guessed that street sharks and extreme dinosaurs are the same fucked up monster freak
now,
DNA.
Now, here's the real kicker. You knew that, I know, but the people at home might not have. And here's the thing you might not know, is that guy also designed the Cowboys of Mu Mesa.
Oh my fucking god. Is there like a furry month or an anthro month? Because that dude needs to be honored.
Yeah, talk about, I have discussed in the past and a month that's just like we talk about things that we're trying to be Ninja Turtles.
Oh god, that'd be great because it would mean we have to watch 52 episodes of the same shit 3 times.
Watch Street Sharks, Extreme Dinosaurs, Cowboys of Mu Mesa, Kung Fu Dino Squad,
We absolutely make a graph and limit to teams of 4 and see who fits the role of Leo, Mikey, Donnie, and Raph.
Dino Saucers.
Dino Saucers has like 40 motherfuckers. It's just that's Transformers, but with like dinosaurs.
I mean, yeah, but it was clearly Biker Mice from Mars.
Lauren has 3 guys, so I'm not counting that. Also, those guys look fucking
okay.
Ugly.
No. You can't do a TMNT ripoff month and not talk about Biker Mice from Mars. Are you high?
I can put Veto Power in because they look ugly to me and they always scared me as a kid.
Uh-huh.
I remember when they put the reboot on, like, I think Kids WB or, like, no, CW4 Kids. That's when that was, like, absolute bottom of the barrel, and I just thought these guys look ugly. I don't want to see them. Why are they from Mars? Put them back. Put them on Jupiter. Put them on Pluto. Get away from me.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. How have you been? Besides talking about the inane bullshit we do, what's your story?
What's your story, friend?
this is your story now.
Other than adult things, I do want to talk about a... This is more of a larger... This is a small part of a larger thing that's been happening as of late. This, like... I think it's over the last, like, couple years. Just so many animators in the indie scene making their own shows. You know? Because we've talked about Lackadaisy and the absolute runaway success that was The Amazing Digital Circus.
Two episodes and there's already a Nendoroid of Pomni. How did they do it?
How did they do it? Like, I think the second episode is, like, at 90-something million views. 103 million. Yeah, the second episode. It's like, how? It's only been up for, like, a month or two. Crazy. And then, of course, Lackadaisy, which was a project that I was looking forward to for years. And then the creator, Tracy, she became a part of Glitch Productions. So Lackadaisy is going to be part of Glitch as well. So, like, there's this big, you know, thing in the animation scene. And I want to mention that specifically because I'm going to talk about one that was really good, but you might not have heard. There is a show, its pilot recently came out. I think it was, a couple weeks ago? Let me double check. Came out 2 weeks ago, yeah. There is a show called Dungeon Flippers. Where the concept is, it's about a kobold and a manticore who are real estate agents and they sell dungeons to villains and other magical creatures.
Ooh.
The pilot is already out and they've got plans for other episodes. They have a Patreon. The pilot is called The Ace of Wands. It's like 16 minutes long. Amazing animation. Very impressive. First up to small production. Great character design, great concept for a show also. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where it goes, honestly. But I wanted to point it out, people might not have heard of it.
Oh, the Manticore looks nothing like that, like I imagined it to be. Oh my goodness.
I love her. She's great. Her name is Molly, but spelled M-A-U-L-E-Y.
Yay!
Molly. I love her. But yeah, it seems like it'll be good. I hope that it actually gets to, you know, continue. Because it's one thing to talk about Lackadaisy and Amazing Digital Circus and all these, like, things that are kind of like anomalies in the animated digital space. The indie. But I think more things like this should exist, where it's just like smaller productions making really high quality stuff. Like it's a shame that I think it came out when it was. I think it came out officially before the podcast, but there was a pilot for a show. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was called Long Gone Gulch.
I remember that. I remember Long Gone Gulch. Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. I love that pilot.
God, did they just like? Are they still working on it, or is it just sort of waiting on someone to pick it up?
I think they're waiting for someone to pick it up because it came out like 3 years ago.
Because that was like it had like there was an earlier like voice cast for it, but then later on they got some big name people.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Daly, Danny Cooksey, the like. It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really good when it came out. It's just like, I don't know if there's been any update on it as of late. I mean, it has over 3 million views, you know, but I guess nobody's picked it up, unfortunately. And I haven't heard any other news since then. Like, the Twitter account has not been active since the pilot, so... Sheesh. It would suck if it just died, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Such is life, though, unfortunately. not everything gets to be successful in the world of animation. Very sad.
At least that pilot is like their pilot through and through, as
Oh,
opposed to like
yeah.
being a pilot for a company that if that thing like fails, then some people can just hold on to that shit forever.
Yeah, it can, they can hold on to the pilot, and whenever any one of them starts working in the industry, or there are so many situations where there'll be like production meetings, and it's like, all right, bring me your ideas, like bring your pitches. We need a new thing for the network, etc. It doesn't happen as often anymore, but it was a thing that happened a lot back in the day, especially for like just movies in general. Like I remember, like for example, Tremors. There was when they were coming up with the idea for the movie, or they were just like, just bring in all of your notes. We need an idea. We're gonna make our first movie. Bring in every single piece of paper you have, all your little notes, and everything that you've ever had an idea for. And the thing that spawned the idea for the movie Tremors was, I forget, I think it was Mr. Underwood, the one of the directors. He was working at like a military base or something out in the Sonora Desert, and he was sitting out in the middle of out in the middle of the desert, and he sat on a rock and he wrote on a little tiny sticky note, "What if I was sitting on this rock and there was something out there that was stopping me from leaving the rock?" And that little post-it note that he kept in his file cabinet was the thing that spawned the idea for Tremors. By the way, this is my PSA to everyone out here who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen Tremors, go watch Tremors.
Tremors rocks.
Tremors is one of my favorite movies of all time. I fucking love it. And Tremors 2, also good. After that, it's real hit or miss.
I think like the not decline, I'm trying to word for it. The spectrum that is Tremors does not the gradient. The gradient doesn't go far too down, but it is like a downward like thing with any kind of media thing that just sort of gets two good movies and then a lot of direct to DVD, direct to TV, sci-fi originals.
Now,
Happens.
I will say the TV show was really good, and it's a shame that the one of the only good things that spun off from those sequels didn't get to continue. And then we had Tremors fucking 6 or whatever when they're in the Antarctic, and they had so small a budget that instead of like going to like a snowy place to film, they just filmed in the fucking desert and put a blue filter over it.
I mean, hey, it's a smarter way of doing that, but
It's just fucking funny, man. I think that's 6. Yeah, it is, 'cause 5 take place in Africa. Yeah, Tremors 6, A Cold Day in Hell. I think that's the movie where they finally kill Bert. And that's when the franchise really dies. Oh wait, I stand corrected. Tremors 6 was not the last movie in the franchise. Tremors: A Cold Day in Hell was 2018, but in 2020 I forgot about Tremors: Shrieker Islands.
That sounds mid.
It is, because Burt Gummer. Wait. Burt Gummer's. I thought Burt Gummer was dead. He's in this movie? I thought he was dead. Michael Gross got to eat, I guess. Jesus fucking Christ. By the way, have I ever told you about that story, where that blank has got to eat, where that comes from?
Yeah, I remember. It has something to do with our beloved Canadian Australian voice actor friend Scott McNeil, of
Yes,
course.
Scott McNeil.
Scotty's gotta eat.
Yeah, Scott McNeil got it. Yeah, it's, for those who for the for the listeners, there was a, I think it was at MetroCon in Florida. It was a panel with one of our favorite voice actors, Mr. Scott McNeil. And he was, it wasn't even a question directed at him. And it was like someone asked him about, like, man, you've done a lot of stuff. And he's like, yeah, I've kind of done pretty much everything. And he talked about another story who was like, someone came up to him and asked, hey, Scott, why did you do all those Barbie movies? And his response was, Scott McNeil got to eat.
And eat he shall.
And eat he shall. The only other thing I want to talk about, that I honestly I'm surprised I've never mentioned it up until this point, because I think I've known of his existence but never actually watched it until very recently. So to plug a much better podcast about animation, so another one of my favorite voice actors of all time, Mr. Jim Cummings, has a podcast. And it's called Tuned In, where he brings in all of his voice actor friends, and they just do interviews and talk about shit. They shoot the shit, talk about the industry, and then they do stuff like, when they bring on a voice actor, they'll have Jim voice one of their characters and vice versa. You know, like, hey, Jim, can you play this character that I played? And then it's like, okay, then you play one of my characters. And then they will do a thing where they do an impression of them doing that character. And then it's like, okay, no, here's what you do. And like the other person who plays that character will give the other person voice direction on how they should be doing it better. like a couple months ago, Jess Harnell was on an episode, and Jim Cummings was told to play Crash Bandicoot, and Jess Harnell was told to play Darkwing Duck.
That sounds very fun.
Like... I recommend it. You can find it on wherever you listen to podcasts, and also on YouTube. Go listen to it. Go listen to a better podcast about animation. Don't stop listening to this one, but also listen to that.
I mean, let's not fillet ourselves here. We're not Jim Cummings.
God, I wish.
None of us will be Jim Cummings.
There's a world that I've lived in my brain where I'm like, man, there are people, like, if we ever got, like, guests to appear on this show. If I got to interview Jim Cummings, I think I might just die.
I would not be on the podcast because I would just kind of melt, like, actually.
Into a puddle.
Into a juddle, a janky puddle.
There are people who are, like, more likely to show up on something like this podcast. Like, there are people I've talked about that I'm like, oh man, I'd love for them to come on, who are, like, more in the content creator scene that might actually show up if this podcast is a little more popular. Like, I've talked about, there are people I've dreamed about coming on, like, Toonerific Tyreek, and, I forget his name, the guy from, Toy Galaxy. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
I don't think I have, sorry.
Yeah, Toy Galaxy. I think they stopped calling him Toy Galaxy recently. But he does pretty much everything. Secret Galaxy. That's what he's going by now. Because they stopped just talking about toys and they started talking about just, like, media as a whole. And then, like, maybe, like, TJ Omega, but that's just like a very deep cut. Vangelis. Those kinds of people. People that, like, and nobody but me has heard of.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm still holding out for the dream guest of John R. Dilworth, so I can give him that fish I promised.
Yeah, Mr. Dilworth. God.
He seems like pretty like cool. into independently doing that. He just does shit. He just does shit for fun.
He just does.
Man's just having fun.
Yeah, he is. Jim Cummings is like up there. I'm like, God, I'm trying to think of like if I could pick one person to interview on this podcast, who would it be? It'd probably be like Alex Hirsch, actually. Or Genndy Tartakovsky. One of the two. Like, if I could choose one, and there was no limits, it would be one of those two guys. But anyway, what have you been up to, Genndy?
What have I been up to? I'm going to say what I've been up to, but I need to steady yourself, for it is a topic that you have told me numerous times you have no one else to talk to but me about it.
40K?
Yeah, I've been reading an orc book.
Oh yeah, the boys.
I've been reading a Zog and Orc book about some boys having a crumping old time on in a de We're gonna say a bunch of random words now for everyone at home that make no sense and sound like nothing. It's about little plastic toys, don't you worry. Same as always. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, you can. I might put a timestamp here just to at some point be like, all right, this is where the 40K talk ends if you don't want to hear us talk about 40K.
I'm so sorry, everybody involved. 40K is what 40K is in that sphere of things where it's like you talk about it and it's great. If you don't know what it's about, it fucking sounds like actual gibberish.
Yeah, like Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, sure, but yeah. So I've been reading an orc book called, yeah, it's like something from like the Black Library, Brutal Cunnin, an orc,
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Brutal Cunning.
a WA novel. It is the subtitle by Mike Brooks, and it's a really good book because it knows A that an orc book will be really fucking funny to read, and B an orc book would not just be an orc book because if it was, it'd just be them doing stupid shit. So it has the orcs sort of superimposed with like a bunch of like Adeptus Mechanus, like tech priests on one of their forge worlds. And like if there's like a big like just sort of like siege of that forge world to get, as the orcs are saying, Dalut.
Dilute.
And it's really funny seeing the orcs and the tech priests like contrasted, because you realize the amazing realization that every 40K player like has. Both these groups are really fucking stupid in their own unique way. Cause with like orcs, it's like, oh, they're orcs. They just fucking want to fight and stuff. But other than that, they're like Goku. When it comes to fighting, they know like a lot of strategy. They know how to be cutting. They know how to do all these the orky the Gorky tactics, and they know how to just like they re they're like it, like Mike Brooks is really good at like showing off like orcs like combat prowess, and not in like, oh yeah, strategy. It's like, no, they just know how to like. They know how to dodge in a way that puts them so they can attack faster, and then and how they can hit things harder. They're
Yeah.
not stupid. They're just like single-minded. And then, meanwhile, the tech priests are like, "Oh yeah, they're the smart tech priests." You see the bureaucracy of them, and it actually gets my blood fucking like my blood pressure just like through the roof for how much shit they have to like do before they can actually do anything.
I can't wait for the sequel to this book called Cunning Brutality.
One day, perhaps. But yeah, the Mike Brooks has been done a lot of like Black Library things, for various like groups and characters.
Yeah.
But more recently, in the last 3 years, he just released three orc books. So it was Brutal Cunning. I own the other one, War Boss, which was from 2023, I think, or 2022, and then I forget what the most recent one is, but it's about his like original character Uftak Snazhammer, who is like the main guy in Brutal Cunning, and has his own like sort of, I guess that's sort of the sequel to this book. But because
I'm sorry. That is the most orc-ass orc name I've ever
Uftak Snazhammer, wielder of the Snazhammer. The toofiest git of all of the bad moons.
my God, I love fucking orcs.
Yeah, that's great. He's kind of sort of the new like a newer like orc OC like original book character overall, and people like him.
Yeah.
He's just ki his gimmick is just sort of being like a bad moon and being like, I don't want to say smarter, just. Oh, he's a snazzy. He likes getting loaded out, and he likes doing things for the Mech Lord. Again, all gibberish words to anyone who's outside of the sphere. As far as you're concerned, we're talking about fucking clowns at the circus.
I mean, basically.
But yeah, Brokkan's really good. I literally have like 5 pages left. I've been reading it like on most of my commutes to work, actually. It's not crazy hard. It's not a crazy hard read. Yeah, you'll know better if you have a decent understanding of the world, but you don't have to like know every bit of lore. You just need to know like
The
the
basics.
setting and just the three factions present, because it's about orcs, it's about tech priests, and it also has a little bit of chaos stuff going on, a little bit of shenanigans happening. And it's sort of divided into, like, sort of three kind of separate routes. Like, one chapter will be an orc chapter, and then it'll go to a tech priest chapter. Then orc chapter, tech priest chapter, and then, like, maybe, like, a weird sort of, like, chaos interlude before going back to, like, that pattern.
Right.
And the stories kind of sort of converge and intersect. And if this were a game really fucking fun to play through, is what I'm trying to get at. The way the story is presented is very fun, and I like that deliberate choice by Brooks. But that's really all I've been doing, like, consistently. I've been reading this book since, like, April, very slowly. It's not quite a difficult read, despite it being, like, a very dense, lore setting. It is just, the orcs do their thing. They're smash orcs. Shit. They fight where the orcs are the strongest. They crump the Yumis and get the loot.
Yeah, there are two books that I've heard only good things about in the last couple years in terms of the 40K books, because there's a podcast to listen to called Adeptus Ridiculous that talks about 40K, mainly the lore. And they also have a book club. And two of the books that they only good, the two books that they only had good things to say about were Brutal Cunning, which I've had on my to read list for a while, and the other one was The Infinite and the Divine.
I am literally looking at my copy right there. That's what I'm reading next, and I hear that book is awesome because it is a
buddy comedy about treason and Orcon the Diviner.
Well, you say buddy comedy, I say what the kids, the Zoomers, call it, old man Yuri.
I mean, yeah, that too.
Extreme old man Yuri to the nth degree, and I'm excited to see if this is a lie or if this is all too true.
Yeah, I mean, it's no shock that Trazen the Infinite is, like, such a dude in this book. Because, like, Trazen the Infinite is one of the biggest meme characters in all of 40K.
I don't call him a meme. His lore is just, like...
Well, yeah, that too, but...
Like, it sounds completely rational.
It is, but also he is, you know, just that. He's also a fucking meme.
Whoop, steals your time. Shoop.
There's that... Like, if you go to his, like, wiki, like, the quote that is for his wiki is, like, one of the longest quotes in all of the big starter quotes in the, for any character. But it is it encapsulates his entire fucking character. I won't quote it here, but, you know, it's very fucking funny. But anyway, that's 40K talk. We didn't talk about it for that long. The only thing that's stopping me from getting into 40K, really, really getting into 40K, is it's too expensive as a hobby.
Yeah, I have unfortunately, because I've only been reading books, because I have been assembling a backlog, sadly. I am playing it, but it's mostly just like...
Kill Team?
It's not 40K, not Kill Team, just like, mostly Necromunda. But every once in a while, I bought an Orc Kill Team set because it's just the Orcs if they were the A team. I may have already started writing and making up lore for this for the Commandos.
As you do.
Hold on, let me show what they look like. These dudes rock. Hold on. These dudes fucking go so hard. I'm a very big fan of the one unit who I've dubbed Gilgrot. You will know them when you see them.
Ah, yeah, that one.
He looks like Gilgrun. He's got a harpoon gun. Why does he have a harpoon? Why does he have like a wetsuit on land?
Oh, you know.
He's like, I imagine that this is like a G.I. Joe style like unit, and he's the quote unquote useless one that has like water specialization. I don't know. If there's a way like give him like water based specializations and like skills that only work if he's in water, I will do that just for the sake of it.
Yeah,
gotta find like a setting for like some kind of like rule set to play him by. But actually, there are plenty of like Orcoid things. There's Modulorca. That's a thing that exists.
Modulorca.
Yeah, it's the sequel to Gorkamorka.
I know. It's just fucking funny.
And I love saying that because again, I was telling a friend about these minis, and I said I want to play Gorkamorka, and then I was like, actually, I'll play Modulorca instead. And he just verbatim said, "Am I having a stroke right now?"
Yeah, that's That's what fucking happens when you talk about orcs, especially.
And that's the friend I played on the other game with, Necromunda.
Yeah, sounds about right. So anyway, on today's episode, you probably see by the thing in the doobly-doo that, you know, I usually tell you what we're talking about. Today we are talking about 2005's Robots by Blue Sky and 2008's WALL-E. Well, yeah, we're talking about WALL-E.
By Pixar and Stanton, specifically. James Stanton?
James Stanton.
Yeah, James Stanton, which is kind of a big deal? Interesting deal? I don't know. It's something interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember, what was I'm trying to remember what the other films he directed was.
It wasn't Pixar things, though, was it?
I don't think so. Like, I know that he did a lot of other movies before this. We'll talk about that when we talk about WALL-E. But first, we gotta talk about robots. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking.
Andrew Stanton, I'm sorry.
Andrew Stanton.
I knew I got the name wrong.
Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Robots, isn't that movie with the big world meme? And yes, it is. Why are you talking about this movie? And you know, good question.
Yeah, we kind of sort of need. We felt that WALL-E on its own, big enough movie, but not big enough for like a coming back to the form of things. We wanted sort of it's filler. We wanted some good filler, and Robots in that regard is very surprisingly good filler. I'd almost say it's worth its own thing too, with what it tries to say. The issue is more that it's an early Blue Sky movie,
and
has just the DNA of other early Blue Sky films of. In trying to not rip off too much from Disney, it kind of has nothing of its own to say for a good chunk of it. And then when it does, it hits fucking insanely hard.
Yeah, basically just like, to get it out of the way, by the way. But Robots 2005, originally produced by Blue Sky and 20th Century Fox, directed by Chris Wedge, co-directed by Carlos Saldana, I think is how you pronounce it, screenplay by David Lindsay Abaire. And the writing team of Flo Gons, Babalu Mandel, based on a story conceived by Lindsay Abaire, Ron Mita, and Jim McCain. And it in the style of every animated movie since early 2000s or whatever, just a lot of celebrity voice actors, Ewan McGregor, Will Denton, Halle Berry, Robin Williams, Mel Brooks, Greg Kinnear, Amanda Bynes, Drew Carey, Stanley Tucci. Paul Giamatti is in this for some fucking reason. He plays the little, like, hand puppet robot at the gate, and I'm like, why? Al Roker is in this. He plays the mailbox, and I'm like, why? Who's that for? Who is this reference for?
Why is it a mailbox, not like a weather machine?
Now, why isn't it a weather robot, or a weather balloon robot, or something? Like, come on, what are we doing here? At least make the joke. Also, like, just as a random, in terms of, like, jokes that are like, who is this joke for? Why is there a Britney Spears joke in this fucking movie? Who is this for?
I will say that is one of the movie's strong points, is that it adheres to the at least most basic comedy rule of throw as many jokes as you can, and one of them's gonna land. And a few of them actually do land really well. And some of them, at the very least, are a lot of them, when they don't land, I can laugh at the fact that they didn't land, that they failed.
Like,
the best... Sorry, you first.
No, go. You go. Finish your thought.
I was gonna say, the best joke for me... Well, the two best jokes is the one everyone knows. The opening scene of, my baby's getting delivered! My baby's getting delivered! Oh, no, I missed delivery. Oh, don't worry, dear. Making the baby's the fun part, which is such a fucking hilarious way of setting it up, but also, like...
Yeah.
Implications of, oh... They get the baby first, and then they make it, is... Huh.
Yeah, it's robots, yeah.
And then the second less philosophical one is just... Ma, I don't want to kill Big World. You must kill Big World. Or do you want to end up like your father? Hi, son. It's just such a dumb joke, because it's like... It's just there, hanging around. It's like...
Yeah.
Good luck with your evil plan, son.
But for every one good joke, there are 20 not funny jokes, like jokes about big butts and farts.
I do not care about the big butts and farts. I do not care that the big butts and farts have a fucking kill count.
And then, big butts and farts, and also, not one, not two, but three women in dress joke, men in a dress joke.
I will argue that Fender did it in, like, an empowering way, but that's just me.
Yeah,
the other two are the sky.
But then when he got the dress, he said, this is so embarrassing. It's like,
yeah.
What are we doing here? But no, when,
you could have been cool robots.
You could have been, but you weren't.
Fender could have kept the dress on, and that's it, and nobody would have said anything.
And also, I love Rebel Williams. He's kind of phoning it in this movie, just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like when he tries talking, it still sounds like he's doing like the Robin Williams-y post Genie world of just, hey, look at me, I'm Robin Williams, waha, haha. Look at my I'm saying a bunch of funny snappy lines, and they don't feel like talking. They feel like a script, and that sounds dumb to say as a criticism, but I think it's like, I don't know. Fender does things, but the words he says do not feel like they're a part of the story. The fucking robot whose whole deal is that he just says repeated voice lines, but the voice box says more in line with the story. And that's just repeating fucking Star Wars quotes.
He says the one Star Wars quote, and also it's just like, they did this thing later, better, and I hate to say it, this thing with the voice box was done better in Transformers by Michael Bay.
Yes, but robots did it first, so Michael Bay owes them money forever. That's how this works. Yes.
He's got plenty of it. He keeps making these shitty fucking movies.
Hey, you're right, but I still watch them.
Yeah, did you like the joke about the enemy scrotum?
Moving on.
Yeah, that's what I fucking thought.
moving along right now. Yeah, that's robots.
No, but seriously.
Okay, there's more. There is more.
The one thing that I want to say about robots, like I've been shit-talking robots, it's as a whole painfully average. The one thing good I want to say about robots that is unironically good is I think that the character and world design is actually really nice. I love the sprocket, the spring, bolts and screws type of looking robot thing they have going on.
It's not quite diesel punk, but it's like,
it's roly-poly-oly.
Yeah, it's roly-poly-oly punk.
Mm-hmm, roly-poly, whatever you want to fuck call it. It's like sprockets and springs and cogs and wheels and, you know,
the world is quite literally alive. We have like rivets. Lights that are people. Like every like thing that is mechanical is a person. Everything that is a person is mechanical, and it feels like a fun world to see and how it moves. Because, you know, it's a fun little working machine. Tee hee.
Yeah, there was clearly a lot of intent in the terms of the design of these characters and the world. It's just a shame that it's used on such a mid movie.
Just imagine like mecha design of robots, the mechanical design of it, in the same vein as like fucking like the Gundam dudes, yeah. Hajime Toki or like that kind of design book, and you just see all this like the concept art. I'd love to see what the concept for this movie looks like, and just how detailed like the characters can be, or just how simple they can look.
There is actually a lot of like, I remember watching some design notes and stuff on like some of the characters and how they design them. Like a Rodney, for example, I remember very vividly they were talking about how they designed Rodney, like his head specifically. They designed his head. At first they were trying to make him look like a not a Chevy. Like, they were trying to make him look like an old car. like a hornet. They were trying to make him look a hornet. It's a car. But then they were like, not, nah, it's too wide, and they tried to like make him a little different, and they, you know, the fin kind of came from the idea of cars with foot ornaments. But then they were like, let's try a different shape. And then I remember, I think, I forget which one of the artists based his head, like the shape off of an Evinrude boat motor. And that's kind of where the general shape came from. And that's kind of where I can't remember if it was a behind the scenes or like a featurette or something that like just happened to come across my face, across me. But I remember like the design intent was like just taking real mechanical things and like putting them together, like taking interesting shapes, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's really cool. Like, that's one of, it's one of the only things that's really good about this one. And it sucks, again, that all these designs are wasted on such a mid-ass film.
I mean, that's not the only thing, because I don't think I was ready for the movie to talk about fucking healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare, like, is basically being all about public healthcare, and if corporations own healthcare, they would inevitably use it to subjugate the lesser fortunates.
What an insane way of like putting that. I because I knew the movie was like about that as a kid. I figured it. I just never like really felt that until because it's like, oh, robots. Oh, they're haha. Robots have the parts don't work. They're getting smelted down. They're getting put into the chop shop. And now it's like, oh, wow. Oh, there's a big, I don't want to, no, the actual, like, conspiracy stuff and the shadow underground that intentionally makes everyone get put to the chop shop. Maybe that's not entirely true, but,
I mean, kind of close.
Yeah, you see, in the real world, the corporations tell us to our face that they have an evil shadow chop shop, and we just sort of accept that.
Yeah. Could you imagine getting melted down into a flesh cube?
I mean, that'd be pretty cool. I like cubes. You ask the wrong person. Yeah, ask the flesh cube guy if he wants to be a flesh cube. What'd you expect?
You know, I've learned something today. Something I didn't want to know, but then again, I was the one who asked the question.
When it happens, I make the noise from Sonic Colors. Cube!
Did you know that that guy is the voice of the double driver?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I did know that. It's a funny story, but not for today.
Not for today. But
not
anyway.
For today, but it's a funny factoid.
It is just really funny that, like, there's, like, I don't know if how intentional that message was, because this movie's about as deep as a puddle, but it's interesting that it's not hard to get that read off of it, you know?
Yeah, I think, and with that we've actually properly capped off robots.
Exhausted.
Okay, movie.
All things.
All the potential, yeah. A movie about growth, infinite potential, and all the, you know, you're more than some of your parts. It's like, no, not really, not this one, but it's close. It's okay. Neat, at least.
Okay, no, you know, I was trying to think of the feeling I got while watching this movie, and I know exactly what it was. It's the same exact feeling I got when I watched Cars.
Okay, now hold up, hold up. Cars has some sauce. Let's be real. Cars has some sauce. If you are at least a single toenail dipped into like the NASCAR scene,
it's the same concept but reversed, where it's like the guy from the city coming into the small place and having a thing, and it's like the kid coming from going, and the robots is the reverse of that.
Well, I think I argue that's a more interesting story, like having a character get humbled and then rise back up, whereas with robots, it's just, I'm going to the big city, and then when it ends with, and now I'm in the big city, and it's like kind of, it's 2 point versus a three, it was like 3 point. Also, don't you dare disrespect Mater like that. Mater is the coolest, and he's awesome, and I'm not just saying that because he looks like my aesthetic in the nutshell.
Is that why Cars 2 is your favorite one?
Would you believe me if I said it was kind of dumb making him a spy? It feels like it's the same energy as, like, one of those boot, like, those spin-off PSP games of, like, a more popular, like, action platformer series. Cars 2 is the Daxter of the Cars universe.
No. Cars 2 is the Minions of Despicable Me.
Let's go with that, sure.
I'm correct. A mid to actually good movie getting a spinoff from a character who is more popular than the movie itself and got to be marketable.
Mayor got so much fucking shit.
He sure did. And then there was the third one where Lightning McQueen died.
I just still see that one. I hear that one actually is like an emotional payoff and a half.
It actually has stuff in it, but I'm not watching it. Like, I don't care. You know? It's like I'm not going to watch Toy Story 4. It's like I got everything I wanted at the end of Toy Story 2. I don't need a sequel. I don't need another one.
Well, I think Cars 3 is the Toy Story 3 to Cars. Which is why I'm sure there's going to be a Cars 4, and that's the one everyone's going to hate, because we didn't need it.
The difference between Cars and Toy Story is I actually give a shit about the characters of Toy Story.
Fair enough. Agree or disagree. It's not like I like the cool people cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I care. Whatever.
Are you like Gurra?
It's not even my favorite Pixar movie. We're gonna talk about my favorite Pixar movie in 2 minutes.
Are you like Gurra? Like, have you heard the word of our good lord, Lightning McQueen? Like that? Have you seen that?
I've seen that one. Lightning McQueen goes to the bar. Lightning McQueen goes to There's No Kingdom Hearts. Oh no.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts.
Anyway. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the real movie.
We've got to the potatoes, now we're going to the meat.
Hang on. No. We've finished our fucking Brussels sprouts, and now we're getting to the meat.
To the potatoes and everything else.
I'm not going to compare robots to potatoes. I like potatoes.
I was trying to be nice to robots. Really trying to be nice.
No. We're talking about WALL-E. WALL-E is a 2000 animated American film by Pixar Animation and produced by Disney. It was directed by Andrew Stanton, produced by Jim Morris. Mm-hmm.
Let's see, interesting, who has done a lot more things than I thought he did.
Oh, yeah.
Almost everything related to Pixar, actually.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get to him in a second. But anyway, produced by Mr. Jim Morris, written by Stanton and Jim Rudin, and it stars the voices of Ben Burtt, Alyssa Knight, Jeff Garland, John Ratzenberger, Kathy Najimy, Sigourney Weaver, and Fred Willard. It's so funny how many... There was like, man, there's more people than I thought on this voice cast, considering how many characters actually talk in this movie.
Yeah, good. Most of the runtime is just, like, nothing. Fucking in-universe, like, Digax sound, and that's it.
There were definitely cuts of this movie that had no dialogue. Like, I guarantee it. Like, there were some cuts and versions of this movie where there was no dialogue and it was all visual. And honestly, that would have been great. The best parts of this movie are the first like 30 fucking something minutes or so. And
do you want to know what my morning routine looks like?
Watch WALL-E.
Watch the first 30 minutes of WALL-E, yeah. Actually, no, watch all of WALL-E. I do be doing that too at work sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. WALL-E was, would you say formative?
Don't even joke, lad. Wait, what is the face I'm making right now? I'm gonna show you the face I am making right fucking now. Don't even joke.
Uh-huh. This is a podcast.
Was Wally formative? Was Wally formative? This is my reaction. Was Wally formative? Wally's my life.
I've gotta lead you in. I've gotta, you know.
Wally is my life. Wally is the, numerous little, spare part factoids. I had the, Wally, sort of breakable, Transformer toy twice, because I lost the first one, and I screamed and cried my head off. I never did that for anything else but this Wally toy, and I loved it, and I based so many little toy plot lines around Wally as the central figure, who has no combat abilities whatsoever, but he's kind. I distinctly remember that in my plots as a fucking child. Was that Wally was very kind and made friends, and what else is there? I played the fucking games to hell and back, or don't. And a cousin who had, one of the games on PS2, and I played that, and I won my own, but I am a PS2, so I had to settle for the PSP copy, which was the same game, but kind of shittier. What other Wally memories? I had the novelization of the book before I watched the movie. So I kind of spoiled myself on the movie before I ever, saw it.
The novelization of the book?
Yeah, the kid's novelization of the book that just is the book. Or, sorry, is the movie, but in book form.
You mean
and
the
I read to that.
You mean the novelization of the movie?
Ow. Look, I'm talking about Wally here. Words don't matter. My emotion. Look, don't. I am still making this. I am still stern faced as ever as I say this, despite my gleeful tones.
Uh-huh, yeah.
My circuits popping.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and then actually, yeah, through all that, I saw the movie, and yeah, seeing the actual movie, I own it regularly when it came, I think once it came to physical, I was scrambling for that shit. I don't know if you know this, but the Criterion Collection, I think a year or two back, released their, cut of Wally, which is a big step because this was their first Disney, this is their first and so far only Disney property, and the Criterion Collection, despite being all artsy-fartsy and having expensive, physical media, their whole, shtick is preserving media that is deemed culturally relevant and insightful. So having Wally be included in that was a... kind of gassed my ego up a little bit, yeah. Damn right it is.
Mm-hmm.
Would I say Toy Story is actually more important? Yes. To, Pixar and to, CG animation. But Wally being kind of, a culmination of that kind of era of Pixar... Because, again, this is 2008 Pixar. This is, They're still, established, but they've, What's it? They've had Toy Story, they've had... those movies, they've Monsters, Inc., they had Incredibles, Cars just happened, Cars and Ratatouille had just came out, the last 2 years prior. They were not bad, they're just oh, whatever. I think Wall-E is, because after Wall-E, it's up Toy Story 3, Cars 2, and then more, and Brave, and it's okay, not Brave, sorry. I'm looking at it wrong. But yeah, it's that's the middle point from Pixar, Actually, was it the first Pixar movie that was made when they were in Disney? No, it was not. I'm talking out my ass. But it was sort of a paradigm shift. I don't know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm. A shifting of eras.
A shifting of eras, but also, a shifting of, holy shit, we can, I don't think it's the, obviously, they always do more than movies, but I think it was, the big one. The big one to follow, Finding Nemo, honestly, because that was a movie that's all underwater and has fish and stuff. Not to shout out Incredibles. Incredibles rocks, too, art, art style, artistically, but in terms of, scale and scope and idea and vision, I think Wally is a thumb note or like a
footnote. You mean
a footnote? Yeah, footnote. Yeah. It's a very important one, and I'm glad that people love it. I'm glad that people have had their awesome, cool interpretations for it. Even I'm saying this as if I fucking made Wally, but you see how I feel. I'm kind of tied to this character. If Wally dies, I dies.
I have never... Rewatching Wally, I don't think I have ever associated a character more strongly with a person than I do Wally with Cenk. That is just the most Cenk character that has ever existed.
Is it the little noises? Is it the little curiosity? Is it the friend-shaped boxness? Is it his little pet roach?
The fact that he collects junk.
He loves dancing to old show tunes.
He's just a little...
He loves Hello Dolly, just like me.
He's just a little guy.
Just a little... This is... I want to look like this. I want to Ghost in the Shell, put my brain in a fucking jar, and put that jar in Wally.
Wally,
I want to be like this.
Wally is gender roles. But, I think the main thing with Wally, going on, like, the bigger, like, thing with animation, especially when it comes to movies, there was, in terms of, like, the year that this came out, I can think of, like, only two other movies that came out this year that were even, like, close to being as good as Wally, or were maybe better. Everything else was trash. The only other two movies that came out this year that were even worth talking about in terms of animated movies were Ponyo and Kung Fu Panda.
I think fair enough. Like see, that's the thing is, like, those movies are fair enough because one is Kung Fu Panda, which I think is, I argue it's DreamWorks' best movie. That's just me.
I would agree. Maybe there's an argument to be made for Shrek 2, but you know. But then you look at every other animated movie that came out this year. You had shit like Bolt and Horton Hears a Who and Igor and...
Okay, Igor is cool. Lay off.
Uh-huh.
Igor has sauce. Uh-huh. I like when he's nice to the Frankenstein lady.
Okay.
You see, now you're debating, like, oh wait, Frankenstein lady, fuck, Igor is kind of cooking.
Madagascar 2, Open Season 2.
Oh, wow. Like, you said Open Season, like, okay, people like Open Season, and then you said 2, and I'm like, oh... Ooh.
Space Chimps?
Oh, no! No! Don't say Space Chimps. That movie was made and is still in a gas station. That's a gas station movie.
I mean, it's probably right next to one of the other movies that came out this year, Three Pigs and a Baby.
You made that one up.
I did not. I did not make that up. Or the really shitty Dragonlance animated movie also came out this year.
Dragonlance,
Dragons of Autumn Twilight.
What the? Yeah.
Dragonlance.
I'm looking at the cast for this. Why are the three, like, quote-unquote stars of three different eras of, like primetime television on there? It's Kiefer Sutherland, Lucy Lawless, and Michael Rosenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck? What is the... What? Good lord, no wonder Wally is, like, significant. There is nothing else in animation 2008.
Nothing.
Nothing else in, like, big, like...
Except for Kung Fu Panda and Ponyo, there was nothing else that came out this year that was even remotely worth talking about. And Ponyo is, like, not one of the better Ghibli movies either. It's fine.
I like Ponyo.
I like Ponyo. It's good, but, like, when you compare it to all the other Ghibli films, it's, you know... But, start going back to Wally. So Wally was when I first saw it, I remembered, I had the exact same emotion, the exact same, like, through line I have with Wally as I do with Lilo and Stitch. I watched Wally and I was like, this is okay. It's alright. I watched it again and I'm like, you know, this is a lot better than I remember it being.
Right?
And then, just like with Lilo and Stitch, I saw it again, and I really thought about it, and looked back at, like, animation at that time, and the context in which it existed, and also, like, how it has sort of like compared to everything else that had come after it, I'm like, man, that movie was way better than I ever thought it was.
You want mechanical detail and environmental storytelling? Fucking check this shit out.
Check this shit out.
I love Wally so much. I love that he's constantly like this dirty little cube, and it's still the most adorable. He's like a puppy. He's like a puppy. They found a way to golden ratio his little eyes to make sure that they like look cute but also look practical.
Oh, you know, oh no, I just had a realization, Jank.
What?
Wally is a sad little meow meow.
The saddest little meow. Look, again, note the eyes. I feel like I remember this in like the design doc or like some of like the details, but one of the hardest parts for Wally was just like
Getting the eyes, yeah.
getting the eyes and just making like a robot with no mouth, no dialogue, like look cute, and they fucking hit gold. 'Cause look at this thing.
Yeah, Wally is perfection.
Why are those motherfuckers at Boston Dynamics making evil kill bots that scare me when they could be making Wally? The nice little innocent trash bot.
Yeah, and then when they made Eve, they completely made a robot that completely contrasts every design aspect of Wally. Wally is boxy, she's smooth. Wally is rusty and you know all weathered and whatnot. She's like perfectly smooth, and she looks like he's almost like made of plastic. Wally has like analog little binoculars, and she's got a full LCD display. You know,
Oh, he's a Microsoft computer. Eve is Apple.
yeah, when he boots up the fucking Mac, boot up
Wait a
thing
minute.
happens.
Wait a minute. Wait.
You
Wait a minute.
didn't know that? Yeah, that's a little bit of trivia for you. That boot, when he boots up, that's the Mac boot up sound.
No, I knew that. I just made a mental th Eve looks like an Apple product. Apple, Eve. Woman, wait a minute. Is Wally a Bible movie?
No.
Well, no, but it's Wally's on the earth by himself, and then Eve comes in.
And where's the rest of where's the rest of the Bible allegory?
You know,
that's kind of it. That's kind of
the
it,
giant
though.
spaceship happens. And in this one, they're girlfriends.
Yeah, okay.
They love each other. I don't know, that's not really prevalent in the Bible, so I get
Yeah,
Huh.
it kind of falls apart.
I thought I had something there just with Eve looks like an Apple product, 'cause Apple Eve fruit of knowledge, but I guess that's just me talking out my ass.
A little bit. But, yeah, to go back to that thing you said about the, they're both girls, is like, that's my favorite modern thing that has happened with Wally, is people being like, oh, Wally is a lesbian romance story about a femme and a butch robot. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good read.
The fact that they are robots, and the fact that besides the naming and just like association by like you know like with the music like, you know music and dancing and stuff like that, you could do whatever you want. You could Transformers with Wally and Eve. They could be whatever you want.
They can. It's the ultimate. With truly, really, Wally and Eve is the ultimate non-binary love story.
It's the greatest love story ever told.
Unironically, Wally and Eve, like I mentioned, I said this like, there are cuts of this movie that were like with no dialogue. Honestly, there's an argument to be made that you could cut like 20 to 30% of this movie and just keep the core of the through line of Eve and Wally and like that whole thing with their relationship, and it would like be a better movie. Like, I think the only thing that's really bogging this movie down truly is like, why did this movie need an antagonist?
I think that's just because it was, yeah, because I looked at trailers from like the bonus features, like trailers for the movie, And it's really kind of like this big action epic, when in reality it's just, you know, daily life of a trash robot on a desolate planet, and then it goes to, okay, here's the plot, which I think is very important, but I think Pixar was, and still kind of is, like, we need a main villain, we need to, like, have a bad guy, though I do feel like Otto is not a bad idea for a villain. He's indicative of the problems of the world, which are, you know, mankind has let automation and like corporations take over their life to the point where the captain's not even a captain. It is just like a weird shadow role that is facilitated by Otto, who is just the AI that controls the ship, a la fucking Hal.
Yeah, I mean, but he is just Hal. That's kind of cool.
It is, yeah, it's just Hal, which, fair enough. Lots of good robot fiction is just the good, nice, small robot fights Hal 9000.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's really the only thing that bogs this movie down. It's like, we didn't need an antagonist, and the... You know, I say we didn't need to be so ham-fisted with the message, but even when you are ham-fisted with the message, people don't get it. You have to shove it down somebody's throat for them to even remotely get it, because people do not understand the concept of subtlety and reading between the lines ever.
It has been 14 years, and Wally has only been more
relevant.
Relevant. I was gonna say endemic. I don't know if that makes any sense. Well, it kind of just fucking. It's. Not to get doomer pilled, but shit's kind of getting rough. Shit's still been getting rough, and we have to kind of like. Gotta change some shit. As much as I'd like a Wally, I don't want to wait till the year 3000 for it. I don't want it to be indicative of us, you know. Blowing up the planet, make it look like a segment in Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
What if you were just fighting demons and you just saw Wally going through and blasted Tokyo?
That'd be something.
It's kind of what the game is like.
Huh. I guess it is, isn't it?
It's a neat... I'm gonna just sort of talk about the game real quick and just say that it's actually a very competent, like, 3D platformer. It fits Wally more of, like, there's no, like, combat. There's just environmental puzzles, going around the area. There's, like, a racing sequence where you just use your wheels a bunch, cut down things with your little laser cutter, but that's it. And I just love that about Wally, that he is a robot, but he's also, like, a well-designed robot. He does functions, but not a billion things. He's not pulling out, like, gadgets and gizmos. He's designed for waste allocation, and...
I'm trying to make this movie something it's not, and like it's good, it's a good movie as is, but I think that like in a perfect world, this whole movie would have been the environmental message is in the background, and it's like, you know, it's there and it's clearly the intent, but the core of them, the real core and the focus is Eve and Wally. And we don't need to focus on any of the other stuff. It's just like, it's all that other stuff's happening in the background. It's just sort of a secondary message to the core plot of these two robots falling in love with each other. And I would have, in a perfect world, that would have been the movie, and there would have been no dialogue in a perfect world, but I'm not a director. You know, I didn't have to make this for Disney, because, you know, like, again, there was probably a cut of this movie that had zero dialogue, and then Disney came along and was like, you can't have a movie with no dialogue. You know? Or something with no dialogue. And then, you know, we eventually would get things animated that have no dialogue whatsoever and have long narratives, you know? I'm always pointing to Primal. Because
Primal's cool.
Until the end of season one, there is not a single known spoken word. And the only word that is ever spoken that I think is understandable to us is the name of a character. That is it. All things that are spoken are either languages we don't understand, or they're grunts and growls. Or dinosaur, or they're caveman grunts and growls.
Y'all know, Fang could be spitting some shit.
Fang could be spitting some shit. We should talk about Primal since that show ended, actually.
That would be an episode, because I know about Promo Season 1, I've not seen Season 2. I hear some things happened.
Some shit happened. Yeah, some shit fucking happened. I'll tell you what. Wally.
One more sort of addendum about Wally, I guess. Because I was actually wrong about this. It wasn't like... Because, yeah, it is the first like Disney movie to be in the Criterion Collection. But that's only because it's the second like Pixar movie to be put in the National Film Registry in the Library of Congress after Toy Story as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Which is probably a bigger deal than being on a DVD collection, I think.
It's true.
Not to say that movies should be judged by whether they're in the National Film Registry, because that's just one nation's film registry, but does go to show that our country... I sound like a seal for a second. Our country has a lot of issues, but at least we as Americans know that WALL-E is the best.
Yeah, I feel like it's much like Lilo and Stitch. Over time, people have looked back on it and been like, you know what? Damn, that was a good movie. I think another movie that people have done that with is Ratatouille. You know? Like, there's...
I think it's Patton Oswalt's best role, probably.
It's not even close. It's a movie that... You know what? I also had a similar through line where I saw it the first time. I was like, this is okay. And I was like, man... Ratatouille is a good fucking movie. You know, as I look back on all those movies, it's like, I look back on WALL-E, I look back on Lilo and Stitch, I look back on Ratatouille, and I kind of look at movies that are made now, and movies that were made at the time, and movies that have been made after those movies, and I'm like, I just so appreciate how different those movies were as like animated films, and how they just tried to do something that no other film at the time, or even many films after, or you know, even now, are really doing. Like, there's never been another film like Lilo and Stitch, like an animated film, and there's barely ever been any other movies like WALL-E, or tell any piece of media like WALL-E, and same with Ratatouille. Like, they're so unique, and the more time goes on, the more you just like realize how unique they were, and that you probably should have appreciated them at the time.
I'm just reading through like the little booklet I have and the Wikipedia page like back to back, and like WALL-E could have been that movie we were trying to talk about, but I think it would have been worse for that, of just more focus on even WALL-E, but less, not really a romance, more just an actual JRPG plot. Mm-hmm. WALL-E could have been Xenoblade Chronicles.
That would have been awesome.
There's an entire segment where there, instead of Eve being sent by humans, she was sent by these aliens called the Gels. And they're these amorphous blob creatures with no bones, no legs, nothing. Just these blob creatures that have gone through all kinds of muscle atrophy until you realize, oh no, wait.
Humans.
Mankind has evolved into the Gels, and WALL-E has... I don't know if it's like him fighting them or like straight up killing them, which would have been crazy, but that's a plot and a half. Like Planets of the Apes is what they're like throwing around there, just like, oh god, it was Earth all along.
Yeah.
You finally made a monkey out of me.
Yeah, I mean,
I love you, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius. But I think the thing that we kind of have like mentioned it a couple times with WALL-E is that, like, damn, this movie looks good. Especially the opening scenes on Earth. Just like, damn.
It really does. You have to understand that I fell in love with this movie and made it my personality forever, not because of just dumb nostalgia, though that is true, but also because, holy fuck, that opening sequence is... It's just extreme levels of just, like, world-building... It tells us everything without having to say a single word. It's I want to make like a kind of story that just starts off in, like that, and is that kind of saying of just desolate junk world, but like not shitty or sad. Just, oh, there's just one guy. There's just one little robot there, and that's and It's like Bear in a Woods kind of like world of like what happens to the world if there's nobody there but just one with like one little guy.
Yeah. And it really does like that first like 30 something minutes again really has the vibes of a short film. You know, in the best way possible, a short film with a huge amount of budget and just like high concept. Lots of amazing backgrounds and detail, like just the tiniest little details. Like, it's so funny reading the little trivia page on WALL-E, and it's just like half of the trivia is like, hey, did you notice that on Earth, in like the hundreds of different shots of junk, there's just like random Disney and Pixar references everywhere? You know, like there's like the Mickey toy somewhere, and there's like a I think you can see a Finding Nemo toy somewhere, and there's a Buzz Lightyear, like just whatever you could possibly think of. The lamp from Pixar, like it, everything. Just
I wish I'd been in Disneyland at the time this movie was coming out, because that WALL-E merch would have been my lifeblood. Ironically enough,
you can still buy the remote control little WALL-E.
That's true. I also say, like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't go crazy for WALL-E and Disney merch, considering that, you know, if anyone's gonna turn into by and large in the near future,
Disney,
it's probably the mouse, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
It was 2008. It was a somewhat different time where maybe there was a chance that something would affect the Disney boom. Perhaps. Yeah. Not really. Oh, well.
Oh yeah, you can get the remote control WALL-E on Amazon for like $40.
This is making me sad now. I don't want to talk about the not even failed commercialization of WALL-E. It's like, oh, it's already done. We're on to the next thing now.
I mean, at least you still have that. You know, there are so many movies and things where my man, I wish there was merch of that I could buy. Remember when we talked about how we wish we could buy Super Robot Monkey toys?
And you know who got rid of that? Disney, again!
Disney.
How damn you, Disney, for making cool robot designs and only really keeping up with like one of them, and that's just WALL-E.
There are so many things from shows that I wish the show had been successful enough to like have a high quality toy that would come out years later. Like, do you know how many people I would murder dead in the street for a masterpiece style Megas XLR?
Oh,
like, right? I would, or a in a similar style quality, a Jenny, an XJ9. Toy of a similar quality, like a masterpiece, like a masterpiece Transformers, you know, level of quality, like a collector toy for those, like an XJ9 or a Megas or a Symbionic Titan, or hell, fucking some Aku Scarab Beetlebots, you know, or a Jack, really. I'm sure there's a Jack figure out there that I could buy.
Did you know that there's a WALL-E Verka?
I'm sorry?
Okay, well, you know, like, the Gundam version KA, like model kits?
Yeah.
They're technically... Well, okay, I was being facetious, but, like... Do you know Disney's, like, weird MOBA game Mirrorverse?
Yeah.
Do you know WALL-E's in it?
Yeah, because everybody's in it.
I didn't know he looked like this. Do I have to play Mirrorverse now?
No.
I shouldn't. But also, this is really fucking funny that it's just like...
Hold on.
This is to WALL-E, like, what the Heavy Arms custom is to the regular Heavy Arms.
Uh-huh.
This made him a little bulkier.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in Lorcana, they've talked about they want that Pixar stuff, so... WALL-E in Lorcana, yeah.
I'm just, sir. I'm just. Where were you when I was 10 years old? Where were you when I needed you?
Where were you
Wally
10
and MOBAs and card games?
Where were you 10 years ago? 20 years ago? Where were you when I was new? New and young. Don't fucking say that shit. I don't want to hear you say that shit of all fucking people, Mr. Baby.
I know, it's just, I would have liked to have instead been playing bad games 10 years ago, like League of Legends, I could have been playing Mirrorverse with Wally the Tank. Like, Tank the Function, not actual fucking Mr. Tank. I am seeing artwork of some insane shit of just, here's Wally if he in like 20 years after the movie, and it's, I don't think we watched the same movie. I don't think we watched the same movie. I kind of want this to be I kind of need this to be the podcast. I'll give you 1 second. Like, what is this? What is this?
I was gonna post that Eve is also in Mirrorverse, but that's also fun.
Like, see, that looks cool. That looks cool, and honestly, those two might be, like, that might just be it, yeah, but fucking! And you know what else?
Yeah?
Wally's still Butch. It's just really funny that, like, they quote-unquote machoed him up.
Okay, whoa,
it's
hold
fucking,
on.
It's a fucking cube.
Everybody, no, shut the tank, shut the fuck up. You know who is in Mirrorverse?
Oh, God.
Jack Skellington.
No.
He's so cool!
Oh, my God.
This design fucks, unironically. Damn it, Disney. Anyway, we gotta move on.
Yeah, I think us talking about rando bullshit is like, yeah, the sign.
We've exhausted all we need to talk about with Wally. Go, if you watched Wally and thought it was okay, watch it again. Trust me, it's way better than you remember. Go watch it. But anyway,
there is so much intent besides this little robot, and if you watch Wally, you will know a part of my soul. You will know a good chunk of my soul, really.
Yep. But that's Wally. I don't know if we know what we're going to talk about next time, but hopefully it'll come out in a more reasonable amount of time. But thank you all for listening. Don't be a jackass. We'll see you next time. Bye!
Wally.